The Talk Station.
It's 841 55 KRC, The Talk Station. It being Friday, it's time for Cincinnati Inquirer's Jason Williams talking some local politics, and you'll find him online, cincinnati.com. Recommend you head on over there so you can stay up with local events, and always like to thank the Inquirer for still covering local things. These local news reporters, things become a thing of the past as this internet age unfolds upon us. So welcome back, Jason. I hope you and your family are well.
Everything is great, Brian, and hope the same for you, and glad to be back on.
Great. I'll tell you what, I am not putting pressure on you, but I think you might really enjoy, if you ever have the time, like next Wednesday, we're going to be at Price Hill Chili. We do listener lunch. And I know you've sat down and had conversations and lunches with Jim Kiefer. He always shows up, but quite a few politicians show up, and Smitherman's usually there, and the listeners are wonderful people. I think you would get a kick out of meeting them. So anytime you have we do every other Wednesday. Again, it's this coming Wednesday at Price Hill Chili. We meet about 11:30, maybe 11:45. Really good time, and I would really enjoy sitting down and breaking bread with you sometime. So just something for you to consider.
Well, if Westside Jim will sign, if he signs autographs, especially for me,
oh yeah,
then I just might show up, because I think that's a coveted autograph.
It is.
Westside Jim.
Just make sure he signs it, Westside Jim, Truck Commander. Without further delay, I was really happy to see Joe Dieters was planning on running again. You wrote a column the other day in the April 15th edition of the Inquirer. Joe Dieters, he won in a blue county. We got to admit, Hamilton County's blue now, and yet he still prevailed. People have a lot of respect for the guy, and he is a crime fighter.
Yeah, I sat down with Joe over lunch, and we talked a lot about a lot of things. And you know, he's reinvigorated. There was a moment there in this that last term where, you know, people were really writing Joe Dieters' political obit, that his political career was over, and that he was going to leave early and, you know, go off into retirement or go, get a job outside of politics. And, he opened up a little bit about, kind of where he was at that time. And he said he wasn't healthy for a couple years. He'd been battling. It turns out he had to have his gallbladder removed. And, he said that he had that surgery right after the 2020 election, lost 25 pounds, and just says he feels great now. He says he feels as great as he's felt in years.
Yeah, I had him in the studio a few weeks ago, and he really did seem, quite alive and invigorated, and he was very conversational, yeah. And he looked great. And as I read your article, I just couldn't believe, time flies. He's 65. I had no idea.
Couldn't believe him. I know when he told me, because when he told me that, I'm like, really? I didn't think he was that old.
I know.
But he looks great. He looks great. And you got to respect. He really sees this as the kind of the fight of his career, as the Democrats have taken control of the courthouse, and as a lot of these kind of progressive policies are creeping into the criminal justice system. He sees his role as important as ever to fight against that and to, stay tough against violent crime. And yeah. I think voters respect that. I think voters in Hamilton County respect that. Look, and it's a blue county now, but you're not talking about a progressive majority county. You're talking about, just sort of a lot, what I like to call normal Democrats, and normal Republicans,
right.
They're not part of, this extreme ideology that wants all this stuff, and that they just, they want safe streets and, just to be safe and, go to their jobs. And, so I think that's really how Joe Dieters won last time. He had a good strategy. He had to spend a lot of money. He really had to overcome the Trump factor in Hamilton County. He did that. He really targeted suburban women who were I guess Republican but were against Trump. So he had to really go for that voter and get them to basically switch over from party to, they probably voted for Biden, but then they switched back over and voted for Dieters, and it worked. And, you know, he feels like he's probably got to do some of the same types of things next time. I will say this, Brian. He said, you know, he had to raise $2 million last time. He says he feels like it might take $3 million in 2024.
Wow.
So we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, I think, you know, Joe Dieters is he is really locked in right now and really reinvigorated about his job.
I'm glad to hear that. He has demonstrated and proven himself to be a good man at what he is doing. And I know a lot of people, it's not a left-right thing. Crime is a problem, and he is a proven crime fighter and a believer in the criminal justice system and actually enforcing laws. And those are becoming, well, folks in short supply on the left side of the ledger. And speaking of that, John Cranley, I think he was a victim of the woke shift to the left, losing to Nan Whaley. And I saw that you talked with John Cranley, or at least Sharon did, in the Enquirer. And what is John Cranley's future looking like?
Well, that's a great question. That's the question I had. I talked to John, you know, a couple of days after the election, and he was a little bit of an agitated mood.
I imagine,
as probably you would expect, But he's like, honestly, I don't know right now. I haven't had a vacation in 2 years. He's going to go take a vacation with his family. He said, I want to enjoy his son's playing seventh grade, you know, nautical baseball, and he's going to enjoy that. And, you know, he got to go to his son's game the day after the election. But everywhere you sort of, you know, and I was kind of trying to game it out with him, and he really wasn't in the mood for that. And I understand. And I'm not game it out, like, in terms of, like, telling him what to do. But I was just thinking, like, what about this? Could you do this? Could you do this? And he wasn't really having any of it. And again, I get it. But I, you know, everywhere you turn and you think in this political climate anyway, it's just right now, and again, you look off into the horizon, and where we're at, it just seems like John Cranley will have a hard time, whether it's at home or whether it's in or across the state, getting through a primary. And he's a pragmatic Democrat. And
he is.
Right now, those pragmatic Democrats, they don't win primaries.
I know. That's what bothers me so much. As I've stated it before, Jason, he is the guy that Joe Biden campaigned as, you know, the centrist, the guy who can reach across the aisle, who can work stuff out, not some sort of, you know, hardcore ideologue. And of course, we know that that's not what Joe Biden is now, because that's not those are the words that aren't being fed to him. But Cranley is that guy. I mean, he's like he's the Democrat that seems to me to be right for the time. And if we got to have a Democrat in office, then I would really prefer John Cranley to Nan Whaley, of all people. Lord.
Well, I guess the silver lining for John Cranley is that he just spared having to go work on a campaign that's going to end up in a loss against Mike DeWine.
Yeah.
And Nan Whaley will find that out. But someone, I guess, had to be the nominee. But, you know, Sherrod Brown coming out and endorsing Nan Whaley in a low turnout race was really a huge difference. Sherrod Brown, usually he'll lend his name to things, but he doesn't usually do a lot. He did a lot for Nan Whaley. He cut an ad for her late in the cycle. And that really, John Cranley seemed to think that really helped Nan Whaley, especially in a low turnout race like this.
Well,
because I said, the only endorsements I feel like that truly matter in politics today are the two-party endorsements, Donald Trump's and a grouping of labor endorsements. But, you know, this one was unique in that because it was such low turnout, because Sherrod Brown is so popular among, you know, certainly Democratic primary voters, that really made a difference, I think, for Nan Whaley.
Well, and you did mention Trump's endorsement. Of course, that sealed the deal for J.D. Vance and kind of shocked a lot of people. But it is what it is. Your predictions on Nan Whaley are certainly correct. I don't think that she's going to receive much of the vote. So maybe inside John can take a sigh of relief. Maybe.
Anyway. I mean, you know, the thing with Nan Whaley is the record of accomplishment is Dayton's mayor. You know, Dayton's it's a town that's it's not trending in the right direction, and so like that's a hard sell. And it's like I still don't. And again, I'm not trying to be critical here. I'm just being honest that I still don't know what the message was. Like, why are you running, and what are you going to do for the state? Because the message has always just been trying to, like, you know, hit Mike DeWine as corrupt on the First Energy thing. And it's like, there's got to be more to a campaign than just throwing something like that out there, because that's not working.
Fair enough. There's Jason Williams, Cincinnati.com is where you find Jason and the crew at the Cincinnati Inquirer. Recommend you bookmark on that page and stay up with local events. And Jason, I'll look forward to next Friday and another discussion, and hopefully maybe someday see you at Listener Lunch again. I think there'll be a real nice nice thing for you to experience, and people would enjoy meeting you.
Come out if you want. Yeah, thank you so much.
Every 2 weeks, again, Price Hill Chili next week. We'll be in Loveland the following 2 weeks, and it's always on my blog page and Facebook page. So take care. Okay. Yeah. Jason, have a great weekend. Awesome. Best of health, you and your loved ones. Coming up at 8:52.